I was a young dad. I was a young husband. Like, nobody gave me the book, and I didn't have that. I didn't have that around me. Like, nobody was like, this is how you treat your wife. This is how you go. So it was a learning on the job.
Yeah, it was like on the job training.
Yeah, like on the job training. So when she's sitting at this restaurant, I'm like, man, I know she's a woman that I love. She's the mother of my kids. She's my dream. You know, and she's there and she's crying, like literally bawling on a day that was supposed to be special.
And it just came out of nowhere. It was like, yeah, it just came out of nowhere.
Welcome to Harrison Family Values, the podcast where we delve into the dynamics of faith, family, fatherhood, manhood, and marriage with our special guests, Chino and Rebecca Arboleda, hosts of the Growing Up Married podcast. With 2 decades of marital bliss, Chino and Rebecca invite us into their world, offering candid insights into the intricacies of marriage and parenting. Through their podcast, they illuminate the joys and challenges of raising 2 teenage sons while navigating the complexities of modern-day relationships. Join us as we explore their inspiring journey and uncover the timeless values that bind their family together.
So guys, thank you so much for being with me.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
No, your podcast is fire.
Thank you.
Oh man.
I was telling you, I love the energy. Like you guys come off as best friends. Yeah. Like, how long has it been? You've been married?
It's gonna be 20 years. We're gonna celebrate 20 years in August. So 19 and a half years married.
Wow.
We've known each other for about 27 years.
Wow.
So, like, our whole life, practically. Wow.
Yeah, so we've been dating. I mean, well, we not dating, but we've been together in total, like, 25, 26 years.
Yeah, like, 25, 26 years, yeah.
Who made the first move? Who bagged who?
I think...
That could be subjective,
I think I did. So, yeah, so this is what happened.
Yeah.
So she came looking for her brother one time.
Yeah, because I heard...
And back then, I was, I was
working out, like a workout book.
It was GTO. It was gym tan laundry for me back then. So I made sure that I came out without a shirt. So I guess subliminally, I was like, let me see.
He was trying to get my attention. He was trying to get my attention.
I made sure the V was looking right, you know. And
she wants to see me.
So I think I kind of... threw it out there like, let's see if she's
at first
me.
I was like, he was my brother's friend, so it was like, oh, that's just my brother's friend, my brother like friend. So that's my brother's friend. And, but everybody started like, oh, you should kind of like,
so how was the bro with that, because I know me, like, you know, I have a twin sister, and everybody knew that Lisa was off limits.
Yeah, so it's funny because her brother till this day, like, we, you know, he's not like my brother. He's my brother. We were best friends. We were always together. Mm-hmm. And at first I was like, man, we were, you know, we had an apartment together. We dated girls together, like, bring your friend, you know, that type of thing. And we were ride or die. Yeah. And then when I started dating her, I was like, man, I don't know how this is going to go, because, you know, he's like, mm-hmm. I know everything about you, Chino. You're girl crazy. Vice versa. So, But yeah, we kind of just kind of threw it on him, right?
Yeah, you kind of just threw it on him. We just kind of threw it on him, basically. Yeah. And it was funny because Chino used to talk to me about girls he dated.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we used to, that's like, we were friends in that sense. Like, and, oh, I'm talking to this girl.
6 years ago, you couldn't just tell your brother, Chino and I are dating. And then he'd be like, oh, you going to Mexico for a week? All right, no, that's what we'll tell him. We'll text him then.
Nope, it was a landline.
So we kind of...
You kind of just... How did you tell him?
Because
I don't think I told him.
I remember the day. Actually, I don't remember the day. He kind of just found out. And then a few months afterward, I found out that he wasn't happy with it. Mm-hmm.
My brother's not like super confrontational. He's more like a...
So we kind of had a small heated discussion, like, in the front of my building, by the L train in Brooklyn. And he was like, nah, you know, I don't think it's cool. And then I was like, bro, but I really love your sister and I'm not going to disrespect her. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of where it ended off. And
25 years later.
And
they're still best friends. They go on like a yearly trip. Him and my brothers, they go out together. So
yeah, we still got that bromance thing going on. Yeah. You know?
So that makes it a lot easier when you're able to connect with family. Like, mm-hmm. how are your families with one another? Because that's...
Oh, the families is they love him. I come from a huge family, 6 of us. So
and if I remember correctly, you come from a... very old school Pentecostal.
Yes, my dad, background. Pastor. Yep, yeah. he's still pastoring all these years later. old school Pentecostal, long skirts, you know, all of that. But it's a huge family. So they were the ones kind of pushing the relationship. They loved him. My mother loves him. My sister was like, you should get with him. He's so cute. And I'm like, oh, that was my brother's friend. So those things were off limits, but they love him. They call him more. He's like, oh, your brother said. I said, why can't my brother text me? Like, what do you mean my brother said? So he's like part of the family. My father's like, that's his son. And then vice versa, his parents love me.
Yeah, vice versa. My parents love her. I mean, it was a critical time for me. Like in my younger years, they became my family. So I didn't have that role model of like, husband and wife just being lovey-dovey and all that. And I saw her parents that way. Yeah. And again, I came in as a friend, as the best friend. And there was a moment where her dad was like, yo, you guys ain't going out tonight, to me and her brother. Okay. It was like a Friday night and he locked the door.
He locked us in.
So it was a pivotal moment because think about it. You're 19. You're 19 years old. You out there wilding out. 1 a.m. is early. So you're leaving the house like 12:01.
Yeah.
So he locked the door and I was like, wow, this dude really cares about me. Like, that's how I took it. And we stood in that night and we just watched VHS. I'm dating myself. VHS. You know, we got some Blockbuster movies.
You read this something from
the VHS?
There's no way anybody under 30 knows. But yeah. But he shut the door and he was like, you guys are staying in tonight. And I was like, man, he really got like love for me. Yeah. And yeah, man, I just got cool with them. Her mom, I used to go visit her like when she was in school.
When I was in school working,
I'd be sitting at the table with her mother just talking and stuff like that. So yeah.
Yeah. And now you guys are, don't want to say ages, because I don't know how old you guys are.
We're not 40s.
40s. And you guys are a young 40.
Yeah.
I'm 44.
Okay.
I'm 41. Same. I'm 41.
All right. So you guys are like young 40. You guys are a young couple.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You're still a young couple, right?
Yeah.
How do you guys maintain that youthfulness? Like, because you guys, again, I listen to your podcast and it's just fun to listen to. Like, you guys I can tell you guys have fun together.
I like to have fun. I think that's what it is.
I'm weird. So, like, in our relationships, she's the silly one. Like, I like to laugh, I like to bug out.
But and I like to make him laugh.
And she likes to make me laugh. So, and I think once we join, like we start joking, it just gets.
Yeah, it just keeps going. Yeah. And I came from a family like that. So my family, like, always laughing, joking around when we're together. It's always like, it's always a good time.
Yeah. Always.
So, I never wanted it boring. Like, you know what I'm saying?
You're a deep person. Like, you're deep. Like, bro, you're deep, right? So you need that. Like, you could be, I could see it. Like, you could be. Like studying somebody, you know, just, you know, gauging who they are. And she's like, is that a book in his nose?
Yes, exactly. Yes.
God forbid somebody trips.
Oh my God. Yeah, I'm like, oh my goodness.
I'm
the one sending the funny text. Like,
So that's our dynamic.
Yeah. That's how we keep it young, I guess.
I guess so. Yeah. Yeah.
But how do you guys do that when you guys have kids? Cause you know, some people get married, and then once they have kids, they lose that fun in the marriage, and all that energy goes into the kids. Like, how did you guys maintain that all these years?
In the beginning, it was a little hard. Yeah. Our boys are 13 months apart. They're teenagers now. But in the beginning, it was just, I was just on mom mode, I guess. And then I was heavily in ministry at that time as well. It just seemed like automatic, but one thing I had said was that we started to get distant. I feel like emotionally disconnected. And I think when that check came in, that we had a conversation about how I felt that I broke down in a restaurant.
Yeah.
on a date night. One of the few date nights that we had, or it was our anniversary or something.
Like that.
Yeah, and that's when I broke down. And I think that was the moment that we said, no, this is not gonna destroy our marriage. We have to be intentional about speaking to each other.
Yeah, because in my mind, you know, I was a young dad, I was a young husband. Like, nobody gave me the book, and I didn't have that around me. Like, nobody was like, this is how you treat your wife, this is how you go. So it was a learning on the job.
Yeah, it was like on the job training.
Yeah, like on the job training. So when she's sitting at this restaurant, I'm like, man, I know she's a woman that I love. She's the mother of my kids. She's my dream You know, I'm, and she's there and she's crying, like literally bawling on a day that was supposed to be special.
And it just came out of nowhere. It was like,
yeah,
it just came out of nowhere. But I believe it was like a God moment that allowed us to help us, you know, pivot to say in our relationship to create the, what we're talking about, that good friendship.
Yeah. That friction.
Yeah.
And I didn't, you know, I didn't intentionally like.
You were say, like shocked.
I was shocked. I wasn't like, I'm going to change. Mm-hmm. Like it didn't, it hit me more from like, wow, like this is deep, you know, like this is serious. And from that moment, yeah, we said we're going to begin to communicate. And I knew at that moment that I was going to prioritize her because at that I'm very locked in. Like I'll think about some things. I'm locked in. If I'm doing something, I'm doing it 100%. So at that time, I think you met me around that time. I just literally like got into ministry.
Yeah.
So when I came into ministry, I didn't have a past in ministry. So now I'm like, everything is about ministry.
Yeah, it was
everything.
Yeah, he was full in. Yeah,
I was full in.
I said in the previous interview, like I referred to you as Pastor Chino.
Oh, yeah. Always. Yeah, so I was full in, Andre. I mean, like literally like that was first. Because in my mind, God first, the church, then your family.
Yeah.
And that's how I started to move. And I moved for a few years like that until that moment.
Yeah.
And that moment came and I said, wait a minute, this ain't working. Like, I don't think this is right.
And one of the things he did say was like, I'm doing ministry. Aren't you happy? And then I'm like, no, I had an example of my dad. My dad was a full-time pastor, full-time social worker. Mm-hmm. He taught Bible Institute. He did all these things, but he took us to the park. He took us on vacation for a month every summer. Yeah. So he still was able to integrate the family, and we didn't feel like we were missing our dad.
Yeah.
So I said, it's possible. You know, that was part of the argument to say.
Yeah.
But it I mean, I think that's what helped us.
It was pivotal
It helped shape our marriage moving forward. Yeah.
But there's I didn't see that part of ministry where husband had a balance. Like I didn't grow up in a Christian household, and when I became ordained and was working as a church as an assistant pastor, all I saw was the men go for ministry, and pretty much their wives and kids were just playing catch up behind the dads. So that's a great testimony to hear and to show that it does work.
Yeah.
And I think when you prioritize properly, you can have a strong family.
Yeah.
And, you know, be effective in ministry.
Yeah, because if you're a husband, right, and you're not whole and you're not thinking whole, then you're not the best version of yourself, because my wife is my helper. She's my partner. We together 100%, 100%, not 50-50. We don't buy into that.
Yeah.
So in order for me to be, as you know, effective in life, in ministry, wherever, she got to be full, right? So she has to be prioritized within that. So I'm a big believer of just ensuring that, like, I'm right, not perfect, but I'm right in those areas.
Yeah, and that's why I said that for me, I had that example, so I knew what it looked like. I knew it wasn't impossible, even though some people that I may have encountered were like, no, that's impossible. I have my dad again. They're about to celebrate in 2 weeks, 53 years married.
That's what's up. 53
years married. And he's still pastoring at 75 years old. He's just still there. And she's still his biggest support, and he still wants to get with the family. We still go on family vacations together. My whole family, we still all go on a family vacation with all the in-laws and the kids. But it really helped me, and it helped me to bring it into the marriage. No, this is possible. We can do both and be happy.
Yeah. And it was a challenge, so I'm not going to front. Yeah,
it's not like this wasn't a one-time
in the restaurant and then we got it all right.
Yeah. The thing is, I fully understand the reality of what it means to be married, you know, which I'm glad that we're able to talk about this.
Yeah.
Like, you're not out there saying, oh yeah, marriage was perfect. It was the best.
No.
You know, because you know how some Christians can be so fake with it.
Yeah.
Being married to me, sometimes I'm like, it wasn't easy because I had a lot of PTSD. I come from, you know, just brokenness. My mom passed away in 1989. So I carried a lot.
I was
10 years old. My mother passed away. It was just me and my mother. And I was that kid that was 6 years old in the street, like in the hood, like outside 10 p.m. at night. My mother had her life wasn't you know, she was just a product of her environment, you know. And so coming into I didn't speak about my mom. I didn't speak about those things that were really like hurting me. I kept them really.
He really kept them inside.
Deep down.
It took a couple of years for him to even speak about his mom. While we were dating, he never spoke about his mom. It was just too painful.
No, I didn't speak about her at all because I couldn't speak about her when she passed away. Mm-hmm. And this isn't a knock on my father, but I go to live with my dad and his new wife. I can't be talking about my mother or else that's kind of what I felt was the
that's
tone.
What you felt,
so nobody sat with me and was like, hey, your mother just died.
Yeah.
It was you and her for the first 10 years of your life. Let's unpack what you're going through. There was no therapy. It was like, well, you're going to a new school. So now I'm angry.
Yeah.
I'm this kid that I'm causing havoc. I'm fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody says, well, this kid just lost his mother. Mm. It was like, well, he's behaving bad. Let's punish him.
Yeah.
Come on, Jay. You know that the communities that.
I do.
So I went through that, and then I'm suppressing all of that, and I'm going through life as the angry guy.
Yeah, the aggressive guy. Angry. Yeah.
And now I'm married, and now I'm going. Now I'm doing life married, thinking she's gonna leave soon. She might just die.
That was his PTSD from that because he felt everything he loved or was close to, he would lose.
Mm-hmm.
So
and then those angry moments, I've punched walls, man. Mm-hmm. I've never was aggressive with her.
Yeah.
But again, I wasn't, you know, it was like there was no coaching me through that.
Yeah.
But I did get into a community, the church, and I was surrounded by, you know, some people who were coaching,
helping
me.
Yeah.
So, so little by little, it was being worked out. but it wasn't easy the first few years.
It definitely wasn't. It's a learning curve.
Yeah.
It's you're learning, even though we dated for a long time, now we're learning each other in a different, from a different lens now.
Yeah.
Now we, you know, live together. Now we have children together. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, life is changing. Things are moving fast.
Yeah.
How do we do this while dealing with these emotions? And I'm like, and even in his aggressiveness, because some people be like, you're going to marry him? He's so aggressive. And I'm like, but I always saw the soft side of him. I always saw the loving side of him. He always put me first. He always treated me, and he still does, treats me like a queen and puts me on top. And I'm not at times. I'm a little stubborn, I have to say.
Yeah.
I'm a little combative and a little stubborn.
Yeah, you go 0 to 100 real quick.
He has to deal with me, so he's not the only one. Yeah. It gets crazy.
It's gotten crazy again. Yeah. Like I said, we don't argue all the time, mm-hmm. but when we argue,
mm-hmm. yeah,
Andre, we make up for the times when we did it.
Yeah,
so you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I think again, we started to recognize that, like, wait, mm-hmm. we're arguing about this thing, and I'm talking to you about what you did 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So for me, it's easy. Mm-hmm. You do something, I start to bury it in, and then I lash out.
Yeah.
And then one day we were like, what are we doing? Mm-hmm. Like, what are we doing? Like, how are we talking about what happened 2 months ago?
Yeah.
And we were intentional about saying, listen, we're not sweeping things under the rug anymore.
Yeah.
We are going to talk about it on site.
Yeah.
And even yesterday, like, we were having like a discussion, and I was like, babe, you annoyed? Because you're looking annoyed right now. Because
I have a question. Did that trigger you?
He triggers me. I'm annoyed now when you ask me that question all the time. Yes, it is a trigger.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah. I think, but the thing is, you guys have got to a place where it's like you guys know each other, you love each other, you know this is it, we're going to work everything out.
Yeah.
So if you can, because the truth of the matter is, you probably was annoyed. And recognize
she was.
I was annoyed.
Yeah, and I think like you guys are at the place now, like I hate to say it's a Goldilocks zone. But it's that place now where you know comets can come past at this moment.
Yeah.
But we're still good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're still good because we know we got each other, we're gonna work everything out. And that's 25 years of getting to know one another.
Yeah.
and
yeah, I'm like, this is he has to like wait. I'm like, okay, he needs a minute. Let me just
Yeah, she does that.
I'm like,
that,
he needs that comes a minute.
With maturity, because like when young couples get married, and it's a lot about how they're feeling at the moment, and about how their feeling is making them feel.
Yes.
You know, so you're mad. Well, I'm mad that you're mad. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Yeah. I'm upset. And now you're upset.
And it's nothing about the thing. It's nothing about nothing at the end of the day, because now we both mad because the other person's mad.
And we lose focus and sight of the root, right? Mm-hmm. And yeah, we're very intentional.
And in the beginning, that's how it was. I would be mad that he was mad at something, and he's mad that I'm mad at something. Oh, so, you know.
No resolve.
Yeah.
Navigating all those things.
And then getting to the point where you could point out and also acknowledge, like a husband and a wife can point out how the other person is feeling, and then be able to acknowledge what your spouse is saying that you're feeling. And it's like, dang, I think that's where, if couples can get to that point in their marriages, prayerfully sooner, ain't nothing gonna bring them, take them apart or separate them.
Yeah.
Like, nothing can.
No, man. And we, you know, we have this mentality. You know, sometimes I've heard people like say things like couples say it's us against the world. I don't really buy into that. Mm-hmm. Right. And I'll explain.
Yeah.
I don't buy into it because it can't be us against the world. Like, we need people in our lives. Right. Yeah. We can't be isolated. We cannot be just us.
Yeah.
We need mentors. We need people that have
gone before us.
That have gone before. So even those individuals who are coming back from the place where we want to go, like, we need those. We need friends. We need peers. So, I don't view it that way. I'm like, okay, it's us going through this, and how do we overcome it, you know, and be the best version that we can be and who God wants us to be, right?
Yeah.
Because our faith is at the focal point of our relationship.
Yes, the foundation.
We
it's
don't
the
always
foundation
preach Jesus,
of our,
but Jesus is at the root of our relationship, and so at the center. So, we try to just use wisdom, you know what I'm saying, and what we do and how we react, and we don't always get it right. I'm not gonna lie, man, I'm kind of emotional, like in the sense of when I feel something, I'm really like, I gotta get it off my chest. But in the years as we've been growing up married, I've learned to say, let me step back. So if I'm asking her, are you annoyed, it's because it's something light. If we're at that place where it's like a volcano just erupted, I step back, I breathe, I try to, sometimes I'm too logical, because I think as men, and you may be able to speak into this, right, with your degrees and stuff, like logical, the place of logic is where we go, right, where you kind of
stay,
you start or you try, so I just, you know.
It's a problem solver in you.
Yeah.
That's what it is. So like when, you know, the logical piece, I think, with people, they use the fact that men are problem solvers, and they piece it simply to logic, and where women will operate logically, but they're trying to process a lot more than men are trying to process.
Mm-hmm.
We want to know what the issue is and how we can solve it right now.
Boom.
Women want to know, they're not concerned about the issue at this specific moment. They want to know how you fit, how they're feeling, and process through all of that first. Then get to the issue.
Yeah.
And then get to the solution.
It's a long route.
Yeah, it's a long route.
It's a long route.
So, like, you're a problem solver.
Yeah.
And as long as I've known you, you've been that way. Like, you're a problem solver. So, and that's that logical piece to it. Like, we'd rather just get to, okay, what are the steps for us to fix this now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. That's exactly what it is.
But I understand you want to fix it, but this is how I'm feeling. I know how you feel.
And it's so funny.
That's exactly it. It's like, I get what you're saying, babe. I get it. But this is what's an issue
and,
right
and
now.
And I got to do better in that area. Because even yesterday, we had like a moment, and I was like trying to figure it out now. You know, like literally. Mm-hmm. And then it followed by, babe, you're annoyed.
I am.
Yeah.
And she was.
Yeah. So now you guys are years in the game, and you have two sons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got three. I got one left in the house who is taller than me.
Oh, my goodness.
And on occasion, he lets me know that he's taller than me.
He flexes. Right? He does a flex.
Yeah.
He's still 16. So, but you guys have older sons, right?
Mm-hmm. 17 and 18.
And 18.
They're about to be 18, 19 in a few months.
19. Yeah.
How was that?
It's weird now. It's a weird space now. Like you said, they just think they know it all. Yeah. And it's like, oh my goodness.
It's a lot of testosterone in my home.
Yeah, right now. I'm like, oh my goodness. Yeah. When those three get going, forget about it. I'm going to the room. Let them just have their men moment, whatever. But it's a weird space for me right now. As a mom. It's a weird space.
Yeah.
I think he's good with it.
I think I'm doing okay with it. I don't know why. I just know, like, because you're like, oh, they're my boys. And I'm like, I don't know. I understand it, but in my mind, they're young men.
Yeah.
So I'm treating them as young men. They're not boys, right?
Yeah. But I think the world hit us very fast.
Yes.
Yeah. Responsibility hits us.
You're talking about us, right? Yeah. Like,
Hits us fast. So I don't know, like, and I try, I'm the same way. And sometimes I know I'm like, I may not be doing it the perfect way, but I need all my sons to understand that life won't cater to you.
That's him. So he's always on that mode. Yeah. He's always on that mode with them, and I'm like, give them a minute.
Dude,
like,
I don't even know how to disconnect from that.
I'm the same way. I'll be honest with you.
Because I'm like, the same way. I just don't. I wish I did, you know. And there's no book. I've read them. I've read the Raising Teenagers, Raising Boys. Mm-hmm. Like, I just think it's you go through it, you know. And but I know, like, I'm believing that what we're instilling in them is going to carry on. And I teach them, you know, about character and integrity. The running joke in my house is, oh, dad is about, here we go.
It's a teaching moment.
But I have to, right? If I don't, then who will?
So do they play the Family Matters music at the end?
For real. They're like, oh, dad's doing it too. And then sometimes they're in a rush. And he's in the middle and they're in a rush. They're like, okay, dad, what are you trying to say? I got to go to work. Okay, what are you trying to say? Just say it.
But we have to, right? As fathers, we have to instill those principles with the hopes that you're planting a seed and one day when that young man is 25, 26 or whatever sitting next to you, yo, dad, thank you, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Train up a child.
In the ways he should go, right? He'll never depart. Yeah.
Like me and my oldest son, like we're almost like best friends right now. He's 26. And when he was a teenager, there was constant friction. Wow. Constant. And he had once told me that he thought I was hard on him and harder on him than my other sons. But they all feel like I was hard on him.
They all say that, yeah.
But he understands. But now he understands.
Yeah.
He understands now. And it wasn't even like I was hard on him. I'm letting him know this is how the world's going to interact with you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I want you to be ready for that. And not that I was mean to him because the world's going to be mean to him. I was open and honest with him about certain things, and you got to know how to navigate the world, because if you fall, the world's just going to step right over you and keep going.
Yeah, it's,
and I don't know if our today,
it's an unfortunate truth, man.
Yeah, and today, our young people aren't growing up with resilience.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they expect everything to come easy. They don't want to work hard for anything. If it doesn't come the way it's supposed to come that they feel like it should come, they go into tantrums.
Yeah, they go into like,
yeah,
grown tantrums, I call them, because they're older teenagers. And it's just, I think it's more of like the, Instagram world, the social media world. Mm-hmm. It looks like these kids are doing things quick. So they think they're going to get the same result. Mm-hmm. And they're expecting something to happen. They're expecting something to come out from the ground. And it's like, no, that's not it. Mm-hmm. But he's like, we are raising young men. So I let him just really deal with that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
because they're trying to navigate those feelings too.
And I think in one of your podcasts, correct me if I'm wrong though, you said like when they were younger, they were yours.
Yeah.
But then as they got older, like you pretty much took over.
In a sense,
to like raising them. So I had to like take a step back.
Yeah.
Because there was one time, you know, I interfered. And he's like, you need to let me raise my sons.
Yeah.
Like, let me be the father. You cannot be the father now. Now they're in a stage of their life where they need that fatherly voice to really guide them. You're a great nurturer. You're a great mom. He's like, but you need to let me be dad. Yeah.
So I'm not endorsing everything about this movie. I still think it was a great movie, though. Boys in the Hood with Trey.
Yeah, I'm a hood classic guy, so you speak in my language.
Yeah, but that, you know, he was with his moms, and Trey was getting in trouble in school, and mom had to say, listen, I can't.
Yes.
He needs his father right now.
Mm-hmm.
And his father took over, and the great example, the lesson that he learned from his dad came into play at the end when he was in that car
Come on.
Ready to go Mm-hmm. And perfect. Doe, let me out. Let perfect. Me out.
Yes. You know? Man, I love how you, I love that. That was good. Yeah. That was good.
So, and I think today, society misses that. And they treat, in a lot of cases, not all cases, they tend to look at men as exposable, expendable.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Therefore, bringing the child into the world, but then that's it. But if you look at every, statistically speaking, children grow up more secure with both the mom and the father in the home, with the mom's nurture.
Mm-hmm.
And not saying that there can't be an overlap there. Dad's protection and guidance.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
There's a security there.
Yeah.
They know how to navigate through life because they've seen the dynamic between mom and dad and how their interaction with them happened. You know?
Which we have that example because we come from two different backgrounds.
Totally different.
Totally. Right. Like, our worlds were totally different.
I lived in a trap house.
We were raised. I lived in a Christian home. We lived in a trap house. So we lived totally different.
It's
kind of
funny though, right?
Because it's crazy.
The way you describe how you tried to get her attention, he literally tried to trap you. He had the muscles out.
You know, you know when we 18, like, our abs are out. No matter what.
I'm like, okay,
all right. Yeah, man.
And then my brother, he didn't know. He's like, measure his arms.
So his brother kind of put us together without wanting to.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, you know, it's culturally different.
But we could see the difference now when you look back, right? Like, you were like, that can't be real. When he came into, like, my life and seeing my family, he's like, that can't be real. He's like, you guys are like, that has to be fake. He thought it was like a fake love. And I'm like, no, this is my family. You know, my mother had dinner for everybody. My friends would come over, my brother's friend, everybody could eat. And the door was always open, even to my cousins and things like that. Our houses, there was always somebody in our house.
Yeah.
And he's like, this can't be real. Yeah. And that's how we were raised. So he saw the difference, in real time, like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
So I knew, for me, I speak about my parents a lot because that's like the best example I have. And I always, to me, they're like a standard that I'm like, hey, if I could do that, if I could be like how my mom was and how my dad was, we speak about that. Because even you, like, man, your father is like.
Yeah, I love that guy. Like, and I think that's to what you said, right? Like, statistically speaking, and just having both those parents, stability is a byproduct. It's a life hack. Yeah, so we don't get it right. You know, I think sometimes, because I do see that, I see the, what's that word? What's that word that I always use? That entitlement, you know?
Yeah.
I see that and I address it, and maybe not always in the best way, but, you know, society, we can't help it. Mm-hmm. Our kids have phones. Society is teaching them.
Yeah.
I'm believing that what I'm teaching them, those values, character, and integrity, they stick. And I believe that they see it modeled in me, that they're going to eventually, you know, walk the path.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But then in 18 years, when they're sitting on a podcast, they're going to be talking about how they had great examples in their father and mother.
Amen.
You know, like, that's
for real. Yeah. That'd be dope.
So before we close, tell us a little bit about your podcast. Because, like, I'm not sure if Chino told you, but I've been binging it.
He did tell me.
I'm telling you, man, the energy, like, this. And when you start doing video, it's gonna explode. It really is.
Goodness. Wow! Thank you, I appreciate that.
Yeah, growing up married is it's been Chino's idea for a long time. For me, I was like, ugh.
Because we've been talking about cameras and podcasts
for a while,
like six years now.
Yeah, I mean, I caught the bug in like 2017.
Yeah.
I was speaking in high schools, but there were kids being impacted, and I didn't want to give, like, these young 14-year-old girls my phone number. I didn't.
Yeah.
I was like, so let me do YouTube maybe so that I could converse. Because imagine me calling your daughter.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to be like,
this?
Exactly. Dude, I'm a 30-something-year-old. Yeah, so I was trying to figure out ways, and then I just caught the bug, and I'm like, man, I really want to do a podcast with
He's like, I want to do a podcast with you, and I'm like, no.
I was like, I think we could do it.
And
like,
no.
But don't get offended. Go ahead. Right? She shines in that podcast.
She does.
So, I like, she didn't want to do it, But she shines.
She shines, yeah. Which is weird because I try to do it myself one
yeah.
week.
Yeah, I was away in Florida. He's like, babe,
I'm 19 takes. 19 like, takes. I said, forget it.
This needs both of us to do it. So we wanted just kind of to speak about our experience. Yeah, like growing up married, I was 22 when I got married. He was 25. So we got married young, to say. And we just grew up. We learned different things. We learned how to like lean in on one another. We learned about arguments. We learned how to raise two boys together. So we just kind of
wanted. We learned how to pay bills together.
We learned how to pay bills together. So we just kind of wanted to do our experiences together. We just wanted to share it. If it helps somebody, like, oh, I'm not the only one going through that, you know. Or, oh, okay, that does happen. Because sometimes you think it's crazy because everybody seems like they have it all together. And you think you're the crazy one in this new marriage, and it don't seem like it's going according to plan. So we kind of just really
wanted to give people a glimpse of hope and help them laugh, you know, because life isn't always that serious, right? And I think that's a huge dynamic of what you bring too, right? Like when we make little jokes, like in the beninging and stuff like that, right? But that's really who we are. And
that is who we are.
And then once she gets going with stuff like that, I can't stop laughing. It's a whole thing. So but
even our kids, they'll start sending me memes like, mom would love this. She would laugh so much.
And she did come up with the name also growing up married. And because we literally were learning how to do life.
Like, we basically grew up together
pretty much. Got married together, like more over the half of your life, like more than
I'm 44, 25, 26 years together, 20 married.
Yeah, I've been together longer than you guys been apart.
My guy.
That's my girl. That's my person.
Man, I appreciate you guys coming on and joining me in this conversation.
Man, thank you so much.
I didn't get to any of the questions, but it was
It's all right.
That means I was talking too much.
That means we were both talking too much. That's the problem with us. That's our problem.
Forget it. Once you put the mic in front of us, it's a wrap.
tell Harrison, extended family about the podcast and how they can connect with you guys.
You could connect with us on Spotify, on the Apple Podcasts. We are on your streaming devices, Growing Up Married. We just finished season one, so you want to tap in and tune in and hear all the funny stories that we kind of...
life moments.
...breeze about.
And we coming to YouTube in March.
March, yeah.
Yeah, so the first Thursday in March, you'll be able to see us in person on YouTube as well.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's going to be called Growing Up Married.
Yes,
Growing Up Married.
Guys, make sure you search, subscribe to their follow. I think they do follow on podcast.
Follow
them and then subscribe to their channel. All right, and I'm going to be subscribed. I'm telling you now, you guys will not be this camera. You won't be disappointed. You're going to love the podcast.
Awesome.
Guys, thank you so much, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you, man.
Thank you for having us. Give my love
to your boys. I'm not sure if they remember me, but I remember.
I'm sure they do.
They were beasts on the court.
Now they're beasts in the gym.
Now they're in the gym.
Do you ever go with them to the gym?
Yeah, but they're too cool for me now. You know that stage, right? We're like, all right, Dad, we bench more than you now, so you're not at our level.
He can't keep up with them. He can't keep up with them. So,
But you know what? Do whatever you want. They underestimate the grown man's strength.
That's why he always tells
them. No, they do.
He always tells them.
They say the same thing.
He's like, all right, keep playing with me. Keep playing with me.
Like, my cousin out there, like, these 18-year-olds won't be pressing him. No? Like, they won't be pressing him. Grown man strength.
It's different. I tell them that all the time. Sometimes we play fight a lot, so I yoke them up a little bit just to let them know.
He's like, this is grown man right here. Don't play with me. Yep.
One time, I won't say which son, but they tried it, and, you know,
You had to flex.
And took their breath away.
Yeah.
And I was like, I didn't know I did it that hard. And I was like, bro, you still fragile. All right. No, I'm sorry. But, yeah, man, thank you guys so much.
Thank you, man. We appreciate this. For real. Thank you so much.
And thank you guys so much for watching the Harrison Family Values, the podcast, here with Chino and Rebecca. How do I pronounce your last name? Because I don't want to mess it up. I purposely didn't say it during the show because I didn't want to mess it up.
Is Arboleda.
Arboleda.
Say Arboleda.
In Spanish.
In Spanish. Some people say Arboleda.
In English, Arboleda.
Arboleda. Arboleda.
All right. Yep. So the Arboledas, thank you so much for being here, man. And make sure you guys connect with them on all their platforms. All right. God bless. Thank you guys so much for watching. Like, subscribe, hit the bell notification so that you guys are notified when we have new episodes like this or when we go live. All right. We out. Peace.
Peace.